Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. I'm Fred Schankelberg, your host, and Tim Rogers and I are sitting here going to talk shop a little bit about supply chain reliability or supply chains and reliability. And we've talked in the last couple of episodes, Tim, we've gotten a little bit on the negative side, you know, how bad things can be. It's driving suppliers to low cost and how that leads to problems. And then the example where you drive the cost down, but then pay them top dollar for repairs, and that gives them a disincentive to get it right. What we really want, as you mentioned in the last episode, and I wholly agree, and I'm sure our listeners agree, is that we'd really just like the parts to work, the purchase things to do what we expect them to do, and they function for the customer, and they just work. Yet, it turns out that that's not always easy to make happen. The hard part for me is the best examples of those great supplier relationships is everybody's happy. It's not a, you know, big story. It just works.
It just works.
Right. But, you know, how would you know you have a good relationship? I mean, or a great relationship? What separates just one that I buy a bolt and I put it in the part and I never think about it again, which is, I wouldn't classify as a great relationship, but right. What would signify or how would you know you've got a great supplier?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, this is kind of the question that we see a lot in the world of quality. Quality's good when we don't see any problems, you know, when we don't have any reports of issues. Everything's just running smoothly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you buy a part from a catalog where the supplier has been making this standard part for months or years, and they've got the process dialed in, you're not going to have a lot of opportunity to tweak or to influence quality. The quality is going to be pretty much what the supplier can provide. But if you're doing anything custom, where you've got a custom design on your side and the supplier has to figure out the best way to produce that part or subassembly, there are opportunities to get that relationship off to a good start. And again, it really begins with a careful review of the design, possibly even co-design on the part of the supplier. So how does the supplier participate in that process? Do they contribute ideas and input to the design of the product that reflects its manufacturability and ultimately its reliability as well? You know, you're looking for a supplier that can provide that kind of input. So it's, how proactive are they? How much should they collaborate and participate in the design of the part?
Well, I've run into situations where you approach it, in the reliability of the component, the design team knew it was going to be critical, so they invited me to participate in those conversations. And the supplier was basically, oh, trust us, we know what we're doing, you'll be fine.
right?
Well, that, I would say that that's not a great supplier. And I agree with you. I've run into those cases where they basically roll up their sleeves and say, all right, now how exactly are you using this? All right, here's the stresses. Right. That would affect it this way. If we thicken this coating a little bit, you'll have the better performance of what you're looking for.
That's the kind of relationship that you want. You know, people talk a lot, particularly recently, about the need to establish a partnership with their supplier. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember, Fred, when we were at HP, but we used to have these annual conferences with our suppliers where we would invite them to Vancouver and we would give them kind of a preview about what the coming year was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And with the intent of helping them prepare their internal production, not just from the standpoint of technology, but from the standpoint of volume, you know, production volumes.
Right.
And we started calling them partner conferences instead of supplier conferences. But I don't know if we ever really defined what a partnership looks like with our suppliers. This is what we've just been talking about, is one of the things that defines a partnership. When you contract with a supplier, you're basically making them part of, they are part of your supply chain by definition. Right. They're part of how you're going to deliver technology to your customers. And if you're just buying a part out of a catalog, it's not going to feel very much like a partnership. It's going to be very transactional. But if it's a custom design, you need the supplier to represent your interests, to look out for the things that are important to you in that design. Again, we said this before, the critical parameters, the functionally critical dimensions, and so on. They need to understand how this is going to be used in the final product. That's the basis of your partnership, at least when it comes to reliability.
Well, I'm thinking of an example where contract manufacturers for circuit board assemblies, they often offer and will provide, if you request it, or it maybe sometimes it's just built into the relationship, is they'll run a design for manufacturing type analysis to say, hey, mm-hmm. look, we can improve the yield, or we can improve the quality of the product we're producing mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. if we modify the design slightly here. And there's a incentive on both sides to get it right, because it reduces scrap and waste and defects and so on. It's that kind of right. thing. Yet on almost any part, if we're counting on them to do part of the design, like you said, they're part. Not, I think they're more than just the supply chain. They're as if they were sitting in your building, but you didn't want to exactly. hire that mechanical engineer to design that part.
Exactly.
You hired somebody else to do it.
That's right.
It implies, yeah. though, you got to add a lot more information than, oh, I want that part. Right, here's the function that I need. I need to give them also, from a reliability point of view, is, well, how long does it need to last? And what environment is it going to be used? And how often is it going to be used?
Right.
Lots more information.
You know, the supplier should be asking those questions. If they're not, that's actually kind of a red flag, you know, that this may not be a supplier that you want to be working with. They should be interested in what the downstream use of this part or subassembly is going to look like. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. how it gives them insight into the process parameters that they need to be concerned about, that they need to be paying attention to.
Well, it's
unfortunately, we see a lot of suppliers who only look at, like, you know, just look at the drawings, and as long as they deliver what's specified in the drawings, they feel they've done their job.
That's right, right. And I don't think it's a fine line to tell the ones that are just meeting the letter of the law, basically, of the design and drawings versus getting mm-hmm. into what the intent is. One example, I was working with a client that was using IGBTs, that's a power converter from DC power to AC power, and it's a critical component for that system.
Sure.
And so we called the supplier to say, well, what do you know about the reliability of these parts, and what do we need to be aware of? Which I thought right. was a good question to ask, and falls in line with this partnership thing. And they said, well, and they asked, are you doing fast switching? Well, if you are, here's a data sheet that
good.
And a white paper that lists the rapid power cycling and the type of defect you should expect and how to calculate it. Now, in your case, you're doing it's power on during the day. It was a solar power application. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have these long thermal cycles, slow cycling.
Right.
And so then we expect the die attach to be the problem. And here's the formula and the test data we have that gives you the formula to calculate it for your particular application.
That's a great example, Fred. That's an example of a supplier that really has a good understanding of, again, how their how the hardware that they produce is going to be used and what some of the caveats are. You know, that's a great story.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's been pretty rare I run into that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, maybe it's because of the cost to buy GBTs. I'm not sure, or the critical nature that they have in those kinds of products.
Well, it was the only one of like five or six suppliers that I talked to over the years with IGBTs that had that insight. Whereas I know when I worked as a manufacturing engineer in a cabling, we made power heating cables, and we understood how it was used and failed over time. And what we found was that as the scientist and as the engineer in the background, we were often educating our salespeople about how to talk about reliability for the customer's application. So there was a lot of training going on with the people that were trying to just sell it. Mm-hmm. And some of the sales engineers actually use that to differentiate our product from the competitors' products, as that we understood the application, we understood how it worked from a reliability point of view, which was important for that particular application.
Sure.
So it's,
again, it's a good partnership. The buyer, the customer, understands the system, but the supplier understands their specific contribution to that system. Mm-hmm. And again, there needs to be a sharing of information on both sides to make the best decisions. You know, the supplier is going to tend to promote a solution that utilizes standard processes on their side,
right,
or something that they're familiar with. But that may not be the best fit for the system, for the total solution. So again, the more information that the customer can provide, the better the supplier can, the more confidence everybody can have in whether the standard solution is going to work or whether something that's more customized is going to be required.
Right. And then it's that, I think you can separate it if you've got a potential for a really good relationship, is, as you said right from the start, is, are they proactive? Do they ask the questions?
Yes.
Of, well, what temperature is this run at? Or how often is it thermal cycled? Or what kind of loads are you putting on this? Or
That's your first sign. Again, when we're talking about quality, you don't want to wait, quality or reliability. You don't want to wait until there's a problem to find out, to discover whether you have a partnership or not. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the first things that I look for from a supplier, is I want to see those kinds of questions and that kind of engagement as a way of understanding what the final application is going to be and what the supplier can do to help ensure that works.
Oh, I'm too many stories on the other side.
I know.
Save those for another day.
The problem, maybe this is something we can talk about in a future episode, but you know, we talked before about the power imbalance between the buyer and the supplier. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're a big company like HP, where you and I used to work, you can get a supplier's attention pretty quickly just because you're HP and you're a prestigious company that represents some significant volume. This is a harder problem when you're a smaller company.
Yet you may rely on your suppliers even more so.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's come back to talk about, well, how do you build that trust? How do you put that relationship in place? We alluded to it here. It's the mm-hmm. types of questions your suppliers is asking. Yet I think we also have a role as the buyer, basically, to prompt those questions. And so let's wrap it up for today. And the idea is that, yes, there are great supplier relationships and there are indicators of if you've got one or not. Yet the notion is that it's not a given. Different suppliers mm-hmm. will approach you in different ways and you can help them to build that relationship and to spot the ones that have the potential to be really great suppliers. But we'll come back and talk about, well, how do you proactively go about doing that? I think that would be a good topic.
Good.
So let's wrap it up for today. If you and the listening group here have a question or two, we're getting a couple of those questions. We're building them into our discussions, and we look forward to hearing more from you as to what you would like us to talk about and what kind of topics or questions and so on. And so let us know, become part of the conversation. And using the analogy of this whole show is, you know, grab a cup of coffee and let's get together and talk shop. So thanks, Tim. We'll talk to you next time.
Very good.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.